Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have incredibly exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is now available for purchase in Kindle, in Audible, and in hardcover. Anywhere that you find books, please go on Amazon, please go to whatever bookstore you like, buy yourself a copy, buy a copy for a friend. Hope that you absolutely love it. Now let's get into the show.
Catherine, hi, thanks for your patience.
Hello.
Hi. So, let's start the same way. That way it clicks my brain in the same way. If you don't mind sharing who you are, who you work with.
Sure.
And what you want to talk about.
I'm Catherine. I own a in-person personal training studio just 30 minutes from Ottawa, Canada. I have been a trainer for 13 years. I got into the online world somewhere around COVID. Mm-hmm. And still, like, most of my clients are in person, mainly because it's safe. Yeah. I know that the income is going to come in every month. I know, like, I can count on it. And I feel like with people for in person, like, I don't have to convince them. I don't have to talk them into it as much as the online people, it seems. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I think, you know, you've got a point. It's present. You know, they can see it.
So, and I'm at the point now, like, I'm almost 40. I don't want to be in 10 years. Like, when I think of what I want my life to look like, I don't know that I am. I don't know that I want to still be getting up at 4 a.m. to see a 5 a.m. client or seeing like 6 clients in a row and missing my lunch. Or like just having days that are spread out crazy like that. I'm kind of over that, and I guess I just want some freedom. Like, I want to be able to travel. I want to, like, right now I'm scared to even take like 7 days off in a row, because I'm like, oh, like, what are my clients going to think? I'm going to be out that 7 days of money, I took 2 weeks off a year ago and I suffered like financially for a couple months, and so I just I want to be in, feel like I'm in a better spot.
Got it.
Yeah.
Your gym is all one-on-one training?
So I'm working with Kaylee, and she is helping me do more semi-private.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not accepting any more one-on-one clients, and unless they come to see me for fascial stretch therapy, because I do a lot of that. Mm, so obviously I have no choice but to do one-on-one there. But I'm trying to, like, I took everybody and I kind of grouped them off into pods, sort of, and then they were all pretty happy with that, and they do their own programs. They come in, they see me, they do their own programs, and then so it's like a group atmosphere but one-on-one at the same time.
Right.
Yeah,
I like that. I love that. I mean, if I could do it again, I would do small group.
I like it, actually. It's fun, and I think they really like it too, because they're not, like, it's not just them and but doing their own thing. So I really like that. And I'm trying to sign people up for my online program, and if I can, they come in for my semi-private if I have room. But so then they still get that that in-person experience with the online. So I have a few people doing that.
What does the online program include then? If they're also doing the in-person training and stuff, what do you include in the online program?
So some nutrition coaching.
Cool. Okay.
Like habit coaching, a private Facebook group, and then I make them workouts that they would do on their own outside of the semi-private.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like an easy add-on is the nutrition for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to sway people for sure.
That's something that you can coach. Yeah. So, I mean, the obvious elephant in the room here to me, and I'm sure you've been asked this before, is these people are already doing something private.
Yeah.
Why have you not brought in another coach to work with them, or to work with them in some capacity?
Coaches are hard to keep around. Maybe that's just me, but they have a hard time. One, with the inconsistent schedule, the inconsistent paycheck, and just like staying around long enough to build their clients. So I did have two people working for me, and they recently, just life circumstances took them in a different direction. So it wasn't really having to do with the training. They just didn't live close enough to make it worthwhile for them to come in every day. So I took on their clients, made every everybody into these small groups,
Mm-hmm.
and now I'm training everybody. So it's been a lot, but
You took on their clients, but
yeah.
you were still working with your own when they were in the gym. So they were building their own book of business.
Yeah. So I have about 40 people that I see at the
Okay.
moment, and yeah.
How many pods, like how many people in a group? I'm trying to figure out how many training hours a week is that?
Yeah, I have about seven semi-private groups, and there's about four or five people in each one. And then I have my one-on-one my few people that I have left one-on-one, just because I like them one-on-one, and we just have a really good rapport. And then
Yeah.
my fascial stretch people, I do a few hours of that a week too.
So that's going to be what, 25 to 30 to 35 hours a week?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it sounds to me like you got to hand off these groups. The one-on-ones, if you want to keep them because you really enjoy them, for the time being, that's great. That's totally cool. But it sounds to me like you gotta hand off these groups to the point where, I'm wondering whether there's maybe an old client, a member of your gym, that could be a good fit. But is there anybody that you have in mind? Like anything there? I mean, are you in a big town? You said 30 minutes outside of Ottawa, so I know. I mean, there's a lot of nothing and woods 30 minutes around Ottawa, but there's also some moderately sized towns.
It's a moderate size. I mean, it's not big by any means, but it's yeah, a lot of the trainers, like when I did do a job posting, a lot of the trainers that applied for were in Ottawa, so they would have to drive like 40, 45 minutes into my gym. And I don't know, I just didn't see it happening. Like, as they build their clients, they're coming in to see one person, or like one group maybe, or two groups, I
You
just
would have to, they'd have to, it'd have to be important enough for them to almost relocate.
and I just find when I've hired people in the past, when they decide to leave, that I'm left with the fallout, and it's then I'm left with all these clients that I didn't, that were mine. And
Yep, that's the burden of a business owner. That's why we get the rewards, but we have to accept the accountability of it all, right? No, at the end of the day, it's going to fall on our shoulders.
My husband is like going through some job changes, so I was hoping to take him on.
If you've listened this far into the podcast, I want to invite you to buy a copy of my new book, The Obvious Choice. It's available now. A lot of people have been asking me what the book's about. The central premise is that it's learning how to position yourself as the clear and trusted answer to a specific group's problems. You see, a lot of people these days are trying to become famous to the faceless, anonymous internet instead of becoming the obvious choice to a smaller amount of people who are going to buy from you. It's actually much better, much more profitable, much easier, and much faster, and much less stressful to be obviously perfect to a smaller amount of people than just okay to a lot of people who are never going to buy you. You see, you don't need to be the best at everything or chase the largest audience. You need to become the most relevant to your people. What I do is I emphasize the importance of understanding your audience's needs, meeting them where they already are, and delivering such value that choosing anyone else feels irrational. And so pick up a copy of the book. It's in Kindle, it's in Audible, it's in hardcover, wherever you find books. Hope that you absolutely love it.
But I wanted to kind of him to do like some back end work, like do consultation calls for me, because I don't like doing those. And I think he would be good at talking people through their what's going on. And I don't know if that's a thing where somebody else does a consultation call and then
Oh,
hands
totally.
my trainer. Yeah.
I mean, OTM.
Yeah,
Right?
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, our sales people hand off, to a success coach. It's no different. And so we can definitely work with you on how to build the system of the handoff, the information transfer, and that. I mean, that's something that I think we're world class at. So can definitely help you with that, with your husband. So that would take a load off. I mean, there's no members of your gym that used to be members. There's nothing like that that you could think of. Like, I'm not talking about job postings. I'm not talking about established personal trainers. I'm talking about somebody who's just like, you're building the program. These people already have their programs.
And then, yeah, okay.
You need somebody who is highly motivating, probably has walked a mile in their shoes, who they can connect with, who's energetic, who's just nice, you know?
Okay.
Really, when you think about what makes a great coach in person,
Yeah.
it's somebody who's dependable, trustworthy, empathetic, energetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what
And
Jonathan
they don't
said, they care like deeply.
have to be certified.
I mean, yeah, sure. It's not
Yeah.
hard. It's not hard to get certified, let's be
No,
honest.
it's not
Like,
hard. Yeah.
I actually, here's a fun story. I got a dog certified back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, friend of mine's dog. I took the test and they are this is way back when, but they were a CPTN personal trainer. So there's a funny story. No, I mean they don't. And to the point where, you know, I know the folks who run all the personal training at Good Life, for example, if we're talking about Canada, really well. And I mean, they need trainers so bad that they basically say, like, as long as you get certified within 6 months, they bring them
Right.
on and they train them. So absolutely, I mean, they will work under your purview.
Right.
And yes, you want them to become certified, but like they get their CanFit Pro, they get their CPTN,
Yeah.
right? It's not particularly difficult. Now, if they have no science background, maybe a little bit, but like it's not particularly difficult. Let's be honest with our profession for a moment, shall we?
This is
much
true.
to the much to the chagrin of people who have been in this field for a long time. No, I mean, you know, this is, you know, a little bit of the conversation that Julian and I just had, right? What are you hiring for? How do you build a business? I'm not saying that this is the trap that you fall in. This is just a trap that I see very often amongst people starting to grow and kind of tripping up. And I only know this because it's happened to me for so many years, and now I'm on the other side of it, and I can look back with hindsight, is that trying to hire for a complete role as a small business is damn near impossible, because complete roles simply don't exist. And so what you have to do is you have to identify the main skill or the main attribute that you want to hire for. And you go directly and you optimize for that. And you actually can work backwards and look at where that skill is on display already. I give some examples in the obvious choice about this, where you work backwards from where that skill is being demonstrated. I mean, Drea is a perfect example of that. Drea doesn't have a background as a fitness coach. Her background is in retail. Well, dependable, empathetic, sales, communication, right? Somebody who thrived in retail is somebody who's going to thrive in a role like this. And so, you know, what I'll say to you is, like, again, I like working backwards. I find that brains generally work much better backwards than they do forwards, assuming that the problem has already been solved, or looking for a case where the problem has already been solved. The best person you ever had working for you as a trainer, the single best person. You can change their name, but what was their first name? Somebody who you're like, everybody who ever worked with them was just lit up on the floor. They showed up on time, maybe early. They were dependable. They were responsive. You ever worked with anybody like that?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Does it have to be one of my trainers or somebody I've
Nope.
just trained or worked
Nope.
with in the past? Yeah.
Nope.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Chris.
Chris? Okay, cool. So the task that I'll give you then, Catherine, is take a piece of paper and write down what made Chris so special.
Okay.
What were the attributes? Was Chris a guy or a girl?
Okay.
Guy. What were the attributes that made him perform so well in his job? My guess is that it was not anything to do with what we generally measure success or skill in the fitness industry on. It was probably not his level of biomechanics knowledge or his ability to recite the Krebs cycle. What was it? What was it? And so I don't need you to answer now because I think this is a deeper exercise. But on a piece of paper, like, try to remember, you clearly have this image in your mind right now of Chris on the gym floor with a client or with a group of clients. What is he doing? Is it the way that he's focused on them? Is it his energy? Is it his communication style? Is it the fact that he just showed up on time and did what he was said that he was going to do, which in our industry actually is a top performer, as sad as that is? What was it, right? Was it all these things? I don't know. But once you have that list, then that's what you hire for. That's what you hire for. And so then where can you find that person, or who do you know in your world that might already demonstrate those traits that might not work in fitness? Doesn't matter, right? That's what you're looking for.
Okay, I could do that. Thank you.
Dig it. Thanks, Catherine. Thanks, everybody else, for hanging out.